the anointing of the Holy Ghost, no stranger to the operation of the Spirit of Almighty God. He's not alarmed by the supernatural, neither is he surprised by the miraculous. I've never heard this man preach that he did not come to the pulpit expecting the supernatural to visit while he was preaching and when he was through. He always comes bringing a message of the miraculous. And God is using him mightily all over the land, through all threads of society. And we are so blessed of the Lord to have Brother Cody Marks and his precious family here with us in this conference. We love you, Sister Amanda, and your three precious children. Praise God. Brother Cody Marks, take your liberty tonight. Follow the Holy Ghost. Let's clap our hands and give God praise. Churched out? Hallelujah. Is there still some chicken on the bone? How do you follow what has already happened in this building tonight? Holy Ghost is going to have to help us. Praise God. Is going to have to help us. Appreciate the presence of the Lord that we feel in the house tonight. Would you just raise your hands all over the building and ask the Lord to take control of the next 1 minute of this service. Got your Bibles, let's go to the book of 1 Kings. You that are making plans to be here tomorrow night, unless God does something different, we'll find how parallel the word was tonight. In fact, there were some things so similar that I thought, well, I started doubting the direction that I had for this service, thinking that maybe I was supposed to preach tonight what I had planned to preach tomorrow night. Just the longer we've rocked on here, I visited that in my mind. In fact, I even left the platform and pulled the notes out for tomorrow night. I just kept feeling like the Holy Ghost said, You better stay where I talked to you for this service. And so this may seem like a strange little turn. I don't mean to in any way at all be perceived to be making a negative sound. But I really want to talk to us tonight. And the Holy Ghost helped us last night. And I believe he's helped us tonight, and I believe he's going to continue to help us. So let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 2. If you missed today, you missed a wonderful day at the Alabama Revival Conference. And I hope that the CDs will do it justice. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. I want to preach tonight by the help of the Holy Ghost for a few moments, avoiding spiritual erosion. Avoiding spiritual erosion. Let me just qualify before I begin. I understand that I am a young man. But I also feel the heaviness of a responsibility. And I pray that this conference would release me for the next 30 or 40 minutes to preach to us, to make a sound, a clear sound, that would echo in this conference and across this state and across this region. We are living in a very strange day. The society that you and I live in is twisted and perverted. And I believe it's very critical every once in a while that the church steps back and examines where she is spiritually. Now, I'm all about hucking and bucking, and I understand the energy of this conference. These men know me. There's nobody that likes to huck and buck anymore. I have felt that pressure of knowing that this is a conference that is high energy, and I tried to explain that to God. And maybe we'll get to do that before we're finished here tonight. But I want the Holy Ghost to talk to us. I want to move a God, whether it's God putting us on our face or whether we're running the aisle shouting and screaming. Would you make me feel comfortable right now? Is that how you feel? I just want God to talk to us. I want to move of God. It doesn't make me any difference if it concludes with us in a crescendo of great demonstrative praise, or if it crescendos in God putting us back on our face again. I just want God to get where we're living and speak to us. Because the bottom line is, what good is all of this other stuff if we miss the rapture? What good is all of this extracurricular stuff that we do and we believe so much in if our heart is not right? Come on, somebody. I want my heart to be right. I don't want to just give God worship. I want to give God worship that pleases Him. I don't want to just give God energy. I want to give God energy that's acceptable. Do you feel that way right now? Throw your hands in the air and lift your voice and say, God, would you talk to us in the next few moments?
Clap your hands and give him praise all over the house. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. You'll find out before this meeting is completely over tomorrow night that as much as anybody in this building, I believe in the miraculous. There is a drive that is within me that is unexplainable. There is no way. I do not have the vocabulary to explain to this conference tonight. The desire within me to see a move of God in a way that we've never seen a move of God. There's something screaming on the inside of me. I believe last night you began to see glimpses of that coming out and breaking out of this vessel. There is a desire from this young preacher that wants, I want to see supernatural things. I want to see the blinded eyes open. I want to see the lame man walk. And to be totally transparent with this conference, I'll explain to you right now and just assume that you'll accept it for face value. I don't want to just see it through somebody else's ministry. I want to see it through my own. I've seen thousands of people receive the Holy Ghost over the last 10 years. I've seen multitudes of miracles. I've seen God do some incredible things in the last 10 years. And I feel very privileged to have been a part of the last 10 years of traveling through your churches. But there is something that's still crying on the inside of me. I'm thankful for what I've seen in the past. But I'm hungry for more. I want to see God do greater things through my life and through my ministry than I've ever seen before. But even though there is that cry within me, there is that desire within me for the miraculous. Even though there is that desire within this young preacher tonight for greatness, when I picked this book up and I began to read its stories and I began to put its characters underneath a spiritual microscope, I understand that in order to be great and in order to experience supernatural things and in order to do great exploits, there has got to become places, there has got to become times in my life that I step back and I examine myself, not as a man of God, but as a saint of God. How is my spirit? How is my attitude? Where are my values? How are my priorities? I don't want to get so caught up in this supernatural business and these miracles and this revival in the last days. I don't want to get so consumed with those things that I neglect my Christianity. I don't want to neglect the importance of me having the right spirit. I don't want to get so caught up in all of these apostolic things that, like Paul said, the thing that I fear the most is that I'm cast away. I don't know, but I feel like that it would be the heartbeat of most of us in this building. Sure, I want to see miracles. I want to see the blinded eyes open. I want to see the lame man walk. I want to see a 500. I still believe in God for a 500 soul revival. I haven't had it yet. I believe it's in the near future. But more than all of those things, there is a desire within this preacher. I want to be saved. I don't know what happened up here, but let's give it back to me. I said, I want to be saved. If I never have another 100 soul revival, if I never preach another conference, if no one ever knows my name in a place that I've never been, there is a desire within this preacher to be saved. I know this is a revival conference, but I want to know, are there any apostles? apostolics out there that are still concerned about your soul. I don't want to just have the ability to stir folks. I don't want to just have the gifting to walk into a city and to step into a church and to stir a mother and to stir a pastor and to stir fresh vision and to stir revival in a community. I want, Brother Booker, for God to be able to stir me. I don't want to ever get to the place that I feel like that I don't need correction anymore. I don't want to ever get to the place that I feel like I've arrived. I need a prophet in my life. I need a warning every now and then. I need a gut check every once in a while. Is your spirit right? Are you headed in the right direction? I'm sorry if this statement's offensive to anybody as much as I am concerned about revival. The number one priority on my list is that I make it. Because what have I done if I save the world and I lose my own soul? What have I done if I save the world and lose my own family? And so, in the midst of wanting greatness and miracles and anointing and these mantles, I get uncomfortable when I start examining the spiritual superstars. That walked across the pages of this book. It causes me but want to be very cautious and careful, because I want you to understand that there were many God generals that walked across the pages of Scripture that fell before it was finished. Maybe you don't pay any attention to that, but that concerns me because I want to know, where did they miss it? If the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, where is the place that I cross over and I'm able to still tap into some kind of gifting and ability, but I'm as lost? So I have become a student. Not being negative tonight, but I have become a student of these fallen giants. I have become a student of these fallen spiritual superstars. I have watched very closely, not just in the Bible, but I have gathered information, interested in even the spiritual giants that have been among us the last 100 years, that have fallen, that did not make it. They were great preachers. They did great exploits. They had great talents and abilities. But I want to know what caused them to fall away. Why are some of them alcoholics? Why are some of them today womanizers? At what point did they make the wrong turn that eventually they apostatize and compromise everything that they had loved so dearly? And I began to realize in my studies, Brother Godwin, that it's not something that happens overnight. I won't ever stand at God's attention tonight. I have prayed that an old time conviction would grip this conference tonight. It's not something that happens in a week. It's not a quick work. Families don't crumble overnight. Preachers don't apostatize in a season. Do you hear me right now? Daddies don't fail to be spiritual leaders in a few days. It's an erosion. It's something that takes time. It's a process. The saint of God that backslides, they don't backslide overnight. The people that are in this conference tonight that have gone through the motions, but beyond the facade, you're backslidden in your spirit, and you're sitting 4 or 5 rows back tonight. But in your spiritual man, you're hanging out by the back doors because you're on your way out. I want you to know you didn't wake up this morning and just decide, I believe I'll quit the church. It's a process. It's erosion. And some way we've got to find a way to stop the process of erosion. I don't want 5 years from now not to be preaching this truth. I'm not interested in 5 years from now being charismatic. I want to keep what God's given me. I want to keep. I want to cherish. I want to maintain what God has entrusted me with. There are people in this building tonight, I know in the Holy Ghost from what I have felt in prayer, you have already come to the conclusion that if something doesn't happen in this meeting, you are finished. You didn't get in that condition overnight. It wasn't a season of discouragement that caused you to trip into that idea. No, it started way back somewhere, and slowly but surely it's broken down. But I hope before we're finished tonight that something can happen in the Holy Ghost, and we can stop the process of erosion, that God can help us stop the process of fading away. It's a slow fade. Churches don't go charismatic overnight. I'm going to get down here where you're at tonight. I said churches don't go charismatic overnight. Churches don't lose their identity overnight. Churches don't lose their stands of separation overnight. It's a process. It's a little here and a little there. It's give a little here and get a little there. But you better remember the old folk tale of Rumpelstiltskin. There's going to come a day that you don't give a little here and a little there. There's going to come a day that he's going to demand the baby. And so, where does spiritual erosion start? Well, there are many fallen giants, scriptural fallen giants that we could study tonight. I can't think of any greater that fell, that should have got it right, than Solomon. I can't think of any greater scriptural tragedy than Solomon. Come from the right family. Had the right daddy. Started off so right. If I could give you anything, Solomon, what would it be? What would you take? He didn't ask for houses and land and money. Prosperity. But initially, his heart, his motives were pure. He was right. God, if you'll just give me discretion, wisdom, how to lead this thing, how to take this thing to the next level, how to pick up where my daddy left off. Are you with me right now? It wasn't about him. It wasn't about his comforts. It wasn't about his desires. It wasn't about his accumulation. It wasn't about his prosperity. It was about, initially, it was about the kingdom. How could something so beautiful and so ugly when scripture begins to tell us that his house is full of foreign wives from foreign lands? How does a man start out as the wisest man in the world and end up an idolater? Hear me tonight, because I want to preach to you, because some of you are sitting here and saying, well, I'd never backslide. I'd never chop my hair off. I'd never drink alcohol. I'd never run off with somebody else's wife. I want to know, how does it get to the place that the wisest man in the world eventually becomes an idolater? The first thing that the church needs to wake up and realize in this day and hour where I am watching great erosion. I am watching wind. Do you understand that wind is one of the greatest factors that is involved in erosion? Wind is one of the greatest factors that's causing an erosion. Do you realize that it was Paul that admonished to the church at Ephesus, hey, you've got to have the fivefold ministry. You've got to have the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers. And he starts talking about the edification and the perfection of the body. And then he starts talking about that man becoming strong. And then he gets down to verse number 14 and he says that you may be able to resist strange winds of doctrine. There's a prophet that periodically has spoken into my life. I don't know what caused him to do it, but today, this afternoon, he called me. I was in prayer. He said, Cody, I want you to understand, you have to be fearless tonight. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you have to be fearless. He said, because the men in our movement that are sowing contention, and the men in our movement that are trying to turn people towards the emerging church and relativism, he said, they're not old men. He said, they are your contemporaries. He said they are young men. And he said they're having an impact. He said they are causing people to turn away from this gospel. And he said, so you've got to rest in the fact that it's going to take a young man that will stand up and oppose that spirit. There are winds of false doctrine. There are winds of worldliness. Are you with me right now? There are winds of young men that are rising up that are causing people to question everything that we are, from our identity to our message to our worship to our preaching. Do you hear what I'm telling you right now? But I thank God for the fivefold ministry. I thank God it's time to turn our pastors loose, that we're strong enough that we're able to resist the erosion that the winds of false doctrine would like to cause. We got to turn the prophet loose. If we're going to be strong enough to avoid spiritual erosion that the winds of worldliness are causing, you got to turn your pastor loose and let him preach against the world like he's never preached before. You know why the little devil's jumping up in some of our preachers' ears and telling them that the church doesn't want to hear holiness preaching anymore? Because he knows if he shuts down the voice of the pastor, that the wind of worldliness will cause our spirituality to erode. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, pastor, preach it like you've never preached it. Pastor, preach it like you've never preached it. There's a spirit in this world that says you can't build an apostolic church preaching. You can't grow. You can't have revival preaching the way we preach, continuing to take the stands of separation that we refuse to compromise. But I say to you, we can't have revival if we do throw those things away. We can't grow if we do throw those. I said we can, and there's got to be a sound from this congregation tonight that lets our preachers know, don't back down, preach it, man of God. Where does it begin? Well, the first thing that concerns me, and I've made several phone calls to confirm this, the first thing that plays in for the fall of this great man is the Bible says that he makes affinity with the Pharaoh of Egypt. Hello? I said he makes affinity with the Pharaoh of Egypt and his daughter. He brings his daughter into his house while he's trying to build the temple, while he's trying to get the wall rebuilt, while he's trying to construct what God had given him the things through his father David to do. While he's trying to do that, he's got Pharaoh's daughter from Egypt in his house. This is what I confirm. You can't find anywhere in Scripture where they were ever told not to marry out of Egypt. I checked it. I know it's a big statement to say, but you go to Exodus 34, listen, hear me out, Deuteronomy chapter number 7, and it names all of those ites. But the reason that some of you have a problem with that statement is because, rightly, we understand that we have no business dabbling with Egypt. It was a given. You tangle with Egypt and you get everything that comes along with Egypt. Listen, hear me out. And so, where the process of spiritual erosion starts is when we begin to throw things out because they're not against the letter of the law. Hello? There's a little movement that is slipping in. There's a little spirit that's slipping in that wants to question everything. I won't book scripture in verse for that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's some stands that some elders made up their mind a long time ago to take that may not be against the letter of the law, but they're against the spirit of the law. Will you release me to preach here tonight? I said it may not be against the letter of the law, but it's against the spirit of the law. Well, it's not relative anymore to preach against television. I'm going to stir the devil up tonight. I got one more night to recover. Maybe we can fix it tomorrow night. I'm not going to preach against television anymore because that's not relative. You don't have book, you don't have scripture, you don't have chapter and scripture for that. I may not have a whole lot of book, chapter and scripture for that, but everything in my Holy Ghost is screaming that it's against the spirit of the law. Well, it's okay now for our kids to be involved in organized sports because, Pastor, you don't have scripture and verse to prove that that's wrong. Why do apostolics get uncomfortable when we start preaching about this stuff? It's in your manual. Hello? Pastor don't have no right telling me to keep my babies out of Little League. He don't have scripture and verse and chapter for that. He may not have the letter of the law, but if you've got any Holy Ghost, you're going to know that that's against the spirit of the law. I'm talking about avoiding spiritual erosion. You can't throw out separation and say we're just going to believe the message. No, it's the whole ball of wax or nothing. And And so what happened? The process of erosion starts because he begins to justify things that are not against the letter of the law. But by the time you get to chapter number 11, it's not just what's not against the letter of the law or against the spirit of the law. But by the time you get to chapter number 11, he's moving in all of those heights. And so it goes from no longer paying attention to the spirit of the law. To now in chapter number 11, he has no awareness of the letter of the law. So it started with something that he may not have had chapter and verse for. But before it was over, he was in total rebellion. I'm just a young man, but they're saying it under the banner. They're saying it under the banner of we're living in a new day. You're right. We're living in a more wicked day than we were 10 years ago. And if it was right 10 years ago, it's right now. You say, well, Brother Marks, I'm not compromising the essentiality of Jesus' name baptism. I'm not compromising the fact that He was the mighty God in Christ. I'm not compromising the fact that you got to have the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand how erosion works. If you start compromising television and Hollywood and worldly sports, it's only a matter of time and you're going to compromise the letter of the law. I am concerned as a young man. I am concerned because I am seen traveling across this country. I am seeing a spirit. We want the little goosebumps. We want to dance and shout. We want to feel the exhilaration of a move of God. But there is an affinity for the world. There is an affinity for the things of the world. We better wake up and smell the coffee. We don't need the world. The world needs us. We don't need the world. Bishop, so we say we're not going to go against the letter of the law, so we're not going to cut our hair. I mean, you might have the letter of the law not to cut hair, but you don't have the letter of the law where it's wrong to color it. Huh? Say, well, I'm not cutting it. What's wrong with just putting a little color in it? Because the color is against the spirit of the law. And if you become comfortable coloring it, it's only a matter of time and you're going to become comfortable trimming it. Hello? Well, Pastor, I'm gonna wear this big old honking class ring because I only get to do this once in a lifetime. Do we still believe this? And so we compromise and we move the lines. Okay, go ahead and wear the class ring. Go ahead and wear the little precious memory stone that somebody gave you. It's harmless. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to... What you have done is you have opened the door to start the process of spiritual erosion. I'm going to tell you, this right here won't give me invitation to preach conferences, but it's right anyways. There's got to be something that rises up in our people that says, I'm not compromising this message, not one iota. Can I preach to us? We got people now that they don't think twice about going to the movie house. I can remember just 15 years ago, if you went to the movie house, you sure didn't want anybody knowing it. But what happened? I tell you what happened. We started off by letting things in a long time ago and justifying it. And before you know it, you start doing things against the spirit of the law. I'm just going to tell you right now, apostolic people don't have any business watching anything that's belched out of Hollywood. I don't care if it's on the computer. I don't care if it's on your phone. I don't care if it's coming through a television. I don't care if it's coming through your laptop. Apostolic people don't have any business watching anything out of Hollywood. And I'm watching. I know there's going to be, we're on the internet and there's people going to say all kinds. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is all this stuff that we're accepting with open arms. My God, as long as he still preaches truth, bro. Come on, Bo, does he still preach Jesus' name baptism? Big deal what his platform looks like. Big deal you can't even send your kids to National Youth Congress anymore because it's a big party. Big deal that it caused a big stir and there's people up there in positions that are comfortable enough with the world that they can have parties after church and emulate a bar room. Not relative anymore. You can't build a church preaching like that. You can't. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not going to build a church unless you preach like that. You might have a crowd or you might have a gathering, but we better wake up and realize we have power because we are a separated people. We have anointing because we are a separated people. Well, I'm tired of fighting. You better go back to the altar. And you better get a fresh touch from God until you get the strength to fight it again. I want to know, are there any young people that still believe in separation? Are there any young people that still believe? It goes down through there in chapter number 11 and it talks about the fact that now he's compromised the very letter of the law and he's moved in all of the ites that we have scripture that he was told not to move in. And then it gets down and says that the downfall of Solomon was because of one reason, that he followed not fully. Followed not fully. Young people, you better make sure in this transition and this transfer, as Brother Godwin was talking about, you better make sure that you're getting more than just the anointing. You better make sure that you're getting more than just the ministry. You better make sure what kind of message you're getting. I want to know exactly how you believe it, man of God. I want to know exactly how you preach it. I want to make sure when I pass it down to the next generation, I preach it just like you preach it. Just as strong as you preach it. Just as straight as you preach it. Where did we get all right? Where did we get that it's fine, that it's okay for a woman to put on a pair of slacks? That's against the letter of the law. But it's because somewhere we compromise some things that are against the spirit of the law. Dress links have slipped up further. Clothing's gotten tighter. Tighter and tighter. More revealing. It's a sad day in heaven when I can't walk through our youth camps in the altar with my eyes open and head up. We don't just wake up one night and say, okay, it's all right for a man to put on a pair of shorts and a woman to put on a pair of pants. That doesn't happen overnight. We don't wake up one day and just realize, okay, it's all right. It doesn't matter anymore if a woman chops her hair off. That doesn't happen overnight. It's a process of spiritual erosion. And the way it happens is it starts way back when we start compromising little stuff. I'm telling you, man of God, if you want to build an apostolic church and you want to continue what's been passed to you, when you start seeing them skirt lengths come up a little bit and them splits start getting a little higher and higher for the sake of my babies, for the sake of the continuance of the power and the anointing of the apostolic church, would you say something? Say something! These guys that are having these meetings, that are coming together and they've grown their little goatees, and their wives look like whores. It didn't happen overnight, Bo. It's spiritual erosion. It's the wind of worldliness and the wind of false doctrine and the wind of the last days that begins to blow on the foundation. That's why you cannot become so tired that you don't fight it anymore and you just start letting stuff slip in. My God, our platforms and our pulpits ought to be the most sacred place. I didn't have a mean pastor. I was raised up under a very gentle man. His name was O.E. Bryant. For the first 17 years of my life, that was all I knew, was his gentleness. But I'm going to tell you something. When it came to the platform, if your sleeves weren't right, you didn't see. And so if they backslide, when they backslide, the first thing they do is put a pair of pants on and a tank top. That didn't happen overnight. That spiritual erosion, that started when the sleeve links started getting shorter and shorter. I can remember 15 years ago, you could bank on it at least one night at camp meeting, somebody was going to get on separation. When's the last time you've been to a meeting and they preached about separation? We want to froth at the mouth and talk about miracles and power. And the fact of the matter is, if we lose our identity, we can forget about the miracles and the power and the... I've been real discouraged about some of this. But I'm going to tell you, in the last 6 months, God's began to introduce me to those 7,000 that have never bowed a knee to Baal. There's young men that God's allowed, that He's raising up all over the country, that understand if you're going to build a strong church, it's got to be a separated church. If you're going to build a growing church, it's got to be a holiness church. And I'm watching something slip in our youth groups, and instead of being enamored with preachers. Bro, when I was growing up, we was enamored with preachers. We enamored preachers' wives. I mean, I can remember a kid what I'd pay if a man of God paid me a little attention. But now I'm watching the Spirit slip through our youth ranks. And preachers and preachers' wives are old fuddy-duds. And instead we become enamored with Britney Spears. Paris Hilton. Hilton, yeah, that's about right. That's probably better. And sports heroes. It's eroding. The wind's blowing. We're living in the last days. And our only chance of keeping our separation and our identity is if we turn the fivefold ministry loose and let them preach like this. That we're strong enough to withstand it. Something's wrong when there's districts that have made it known that I will no longer be preaching their district meetings, because in one of their district meetings I had the audacity to get on a controversial issue called television. When did that become controversial? Overnight. Churches don't become charismatic overnight. Preachers don't apostatize overnight. Saints don't backslide overnight. It's a slow fade. A little here. A little there. A little bit here. First thing they do is they throw out the things that they feel like they don't have the letter of the law anymore. And understand that erosion is what shapes our world. And everything that erodes goes downhill. And so erosion is something that once it begins, it picks up speed. And once the process is started, and when you let spiritual erosion get in your youth group, when you let it get into your personal walk with God, when you let it get into your ministry, when you let it get into your church, when you allow that to get a hold of your community, what happens is you begin the process of everything that you once believed so fervently deteriorating. I'm fixing to close. There are three things. I found this. This is how I run across this. I wasn't even looking for something to preach. I was reading. It was for entertainment. I was reading an article about wind erosion. I was sitting on a plane. The guy next to me, when I read it, he probably thought I was bananas. Almost ripped the magazine in half. I started doing a Brother Booker. I do that pretty good, don't I? There are three things. Listen to me in closing. There are three things that will stop the process of erosion, wind erosion. You can cut erosion by 50%. 50. Somebody say 50. Somebody say 50. That's in half. By building barriers and walls on the boundaries of your property. Wait. They're called windbreaks. The next time you drive through Illinois or Kansas where there's a lot of agriculture, I want you to look. And you don't drive from one open field to the next open field. There's more than a fence that separates the property. I've never paid attention to this, but usually there is a row of trees. What that is that's called a windbreak. The spiritual application to this is this. The wind of worldliness and the wind of false doctrine and the wind of the last days and everything that is blowing against the foundation of the church. We're able to cut it in half. So I have a problem with young men that are telling me if I'm going to be cool and in their clique that I've got to tear down the walls. The walls are what's keeping the wind out. Those rules are not to make it hard on you. Those stands of separation are not to make you feel like that you're in bondage. Those are walls, and they are healthy walls that we need to maintain. And if they stay on the premises, on the boundaries of our property, it's going to keep out the wind of worldliness and the wind of false doctrine. What I'm preaching to you, Apostolic Church, it's not a day to tear down the walls. We got to build them up. Come on, I'm finished. 50% if there's wind breaks. Don't tell me that it's the time to tear down the walls. It's time to build up walls. If we're going to stop the process of spiritual erosion, it's going to be because there's young people that start to rise up and say, you know what? I'm not going to put pressure on my mom and daddy to compromise. I'm not going to sweet talk my daddy to let me do what I know the pastor teaches against. No, no, no. It's about a wall. And it's about stopping the process. And I don't want to lose out with God. And those walls are there to help me. Another 20% you can stop wind erosion by sticking to established paths. The article said, when you go in and start trying to make new roads where there's already roads, give me that old time religion. It was good for Paul and Silas. Come on! Anybody still believe what I'm preaching right now? I said if it was good for Paul and Silas. Stop about another 20%. So 70%, you got wind erosion. Cut down 70% if you build walls on the perimeters of your property and you stick to the established paths. Peter started a path. I don't need another message, Sammy Sherrill. The day I get off of that road and start trying to make a road of my own, ground starts to shift and the foundation starts to erode. Hello? The third thing that'll stop, help prevent wind erosion is the article said you cut it by another 10% if you leave the ancient landmarks alone. You go in and start pulling up trees that have been there 100 years. 80%. 80% if we keep the walls up. Stay on the established path. And leave the ancient landmarks alone. Don't go touch it. Thank you. Thank you. Some said all he was trying to do was cause controversy, stir up trouble. But I say thank you for elders that say, you know what, there's some landmarks. We ain't touching them. Some things I'm not going to touch. Things I ain't not gonna mess with. Brother Clark, I can't pull the jury out on stuff that they've already had. It's already been settled. I can't pull the jury back out and open a case up that's already been closed. I don't care how educated I think. I don't care how well I use my brain or how analytical I am. How many years I've gone to college and how smart I think I am. I can't pull the jury out on stuff that the case has already been closed on. And there are some ancient landmarks that we better leave alone. There's some paths that we better stay on. There's some walls that we better repair and make sure that they're stronger and healthier than they've ever been before. Build a wall. Stay on the established path. Leave the landmarks alone. That's the only way we're going to make it. That's the only way we're going to make it. If it was good enough for me, it's good enough for my babies. Hello? If it was good enough for me, it's good enough for my babies. If it was good enough to save me, it's good enough to save the next generation. I stay, I'm not finished. We better quit looking for what we can do and still. How close can I get to the world? We better get out of this game of trying to find out what's permissible and still have the power. Do you hear me? What can I do and still not jeopardize having the power? I'm not here to be a prophet of doom, because just a couple of weeks ago, I was in a state that I had only preached in once before, preaching for somebody I didn't know. And when I got through preaching, that pastor, 29 years old, walked to the pulpit, and out of his mouth, he said to his people, I had no clue this guy existed. He said to his people, he said, your pastor was wrong. He said, I thought I could watch movies and have revival. What he said. You know what God's going to do? God's going to thunder on that young man. In fact, you want me to tell you the rest of the story? The same young man that took that stand, that for the last 13 weeks has been preaching holiness in his church, it's probably going to cost him friends. But that same man that made that statement when I got through preaching is the same man that in 24 hours later got the news that he told you about. That his city was giving him 100,000 square foot school building to build his next church in. That's a true story. You think God's saying anything in that? God's saying, you take care of my stuff. You take care of my anointing. You take care of my message. And I'm going to take care of you. You take care of what I've entrusted you with. You know who God's raising up? It's those inconspicuous people. On the backside of nowhere, that's kept the sheep. Oh yeah, the lion and the bear came. There wasn't a grandstand of folks watching them, but they kept the sheep. And they protected the lamb. And God said, that's the kind of people I'm going to raise up. That's the kind of people I'm going to use in the last days. Are those people that understand the importance of being keepers. I want to know, are there any keepers in the house? I want to know, are there any keepers in the house? I want to know, is there anybody that still believes it is real today as the day you got the Holy Ghost? I want to know, is there anybody that believes it as strong today? That's the first time that God convicted you. If you're here and you say, Brother Marks, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be swept away by those winds. I want to secure the walls and make sure I'm on the right path. Make sure I'm not messing with the ancient landmarks. I want you to begin. It's getting late. I want you to begin to rush out of your pews real quick. Come on. If you're here and you still believe this message of separation, if you still believe the essentiality of Acts 2:38, I want you to come on very quickly.
Holiness.
Here's how I want you to approach it. I want you to take the personal responsibility. I want dads, moms, young people, single parents, elders. I want you to tap into this by having this spirit. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. Come on, is there anybody that feels as strong about it as the preacher tonight? Not while I got my eyes open. Not while I'm alive. Not while I'm breathing. voice right now. I want the devil. I want hell to hear you. If you still believe this message as strong as you've ever believed it, I want you to roar right now. Roar! Roar! Jesus.